Off Day Podcast, episode 4.
Best episode yet.
Yes, I'm ready for it. Andy,
I hope so,
because
you've been dragging us down a little bit.
No, I have not.
People are just saying I just beat up on you and you're a punching bag.
I got a lot of things to take up with you.
Good, so let's carry your weight. I'm sick of carrying this thing.
All right, well, we'll see how this episode goes. Sponsored by Lord Hobo, our good friends over there. Rob Bradford doing a ride around Fenway Park in one of those. Maybe we can do one of those down the road.
Yeah, I look forward to that. Way down the road.
Like, as in next year?
Yes.
But they're a good company, good beer.
Boom Sauce.
Yes.
Actually, we didn't have Boom Sauce. What did we have at our live taping? It was a light, more of a
yeah,
light.
More of a lighter beer.
Yeah.
Wiggy liked it. I know.
I liked it, too.
Yeah.
No days off. No days off. No days off. No days off.
This is the Off Day Podcast.
Give me a chest bump.
With Andy Hart.
That's a really interesting point. Andy.
This microphone put up a little less fight than the one last night.
No, I think I said that, Andy.
And Ryan Hannibal.
What's your name again?
Hannibal.
Mr. Dot Comer
on WEEI.com.
You were fresh off Dale and Keith. You're in for the whole week.
Damn right. With Wiggy.
With all week with Wiggy?
Yes, where we debated for most of the show Antonio Brown's helmet situation. So we don't need to touch on that here because it really has not a lot of relevance to the Patriots unless Tom Brady joins the fight.
But I don't think he is.
I don't think he is either.
So. I guess let's segue into that. What were your takeaways from Tom Brady's interview this morning on the Greg Hill Show?
I don't know if you believe him or not, but this whole positivity thing I actually buy. I think he truly tries to stay in the moment, and I'm sure he has little breaks where he gets angry and upset and stressed, whatever. But I really buy this crap that he has found a way. Now, pretty easy to be positive when you have maybe the greatest life of any person on the planet.
Yes.
But he stays positive. He stays in the moment. And I think that would be something I'll probably write at some point for our website, WEEI.com, is just probably should do the same things. Just as a fan, stay positive. Watch Tom Brady be good for another season. And then whatever happens next spring, whether he gets a contract, doesn't. By the way, he opened the door to a 5-year extension.
Yes,
he did. He was giving examples of all the hypotheticals, 5-year extension was one of them.
I mean, I think, those are some personal feelings. And there's a lot of personal conversations that I've had that really, you know, aren't for other people's knowledge. You know, and again, this is, I think what this is about is just this season and dealing with this year and beyond this year, whether it's signing 5 more years or signing a franchise tag or not playing, or none of those things needed to be decided this year.
Interesting.
So not only does he want to play till 45, which he reiterated, maybe it's 47. Or he also said he could not play at all or not play here. So he left the door open for all those possibilities. But I thought he was sort of honest, even in a cryptic way, about the whole house thing in Connecticut.
Yep.
And, you know, I think it's what I've told you. I believe they're embarking on a portion of their life where the kids are getting older. They're going to start and be in middle school and high school, and you're going to lay down some roots. Even though they have all these places that he listed in Costa Rica and Montana and all that, they're going to lay down some roots. So you want to figure out where they're going to go to school, where home base is going to be.
Right.
And if that's Jersey or Connecticut or whatever, because it suits everyone the best. You know, if Giselle has her business interests and modeling interests in New York and Tom and all that, so be it. I don't think it necessarily says anything one way or the other about his future with the New England Patriots.
The thing that stood out to me was he seemed to stress the 1 year thing. It's about 1 year. It's 1 year. It's 1 year. That's fine. All well and good there. The other thing that stood out was he always seemed to drop in the line and every answer was, and have a great relationship with the team, Mr. Kraft, Jonathan, Bill Belichick.
You know, we have a great relationship.
Now, that seems all well and good, but to me, I feel like the way that he sort of dropped it into every answer leads me to believe the opposite, that maybe they're not, you know, all well and good.
Yeah.
And he's just saying that because he knows he's supposed to say it, but it's not the first thing that he said in those answers.
Right. And if he truly had this great relationship, wouldn't he have a 3-year extension for $100 million or
whatever he wanted?
Whatever the idea of the negotiations from his perspective was. Yeah. So we know Tom Brady isn't always genuine.
No.
Guess what? Nobody is.
Right.
None of these people that speak into microphones, except us, we're obviously very honest
all the time
when we speak into our microphones. They don't always tell the truth. They have agendas. They have to put things in a certain point of view for their own purposes. That's fine. But if I'm a Patriots fan, and I've heard people say this, and I agree with them, just enjoy Tom Brady. Who knows? Maybe he's gone after the season, and
what
you're going to cry.
What is this, Mr. Positivity, Andy Hart?
It's a new leaf.
And you're in with 4 hours with Dale, turned you into Mr. Positive?
Yep, Mr. Okity-dokity-clokity. But, you know, why are we going to rule? Like, if you're a fan, we can do it as media. We're analysts. We can look ahead. But if you're a fan, which stands for fanatic, and you're seeing the last of Tom Brady in 12 in a Patriots jersey with that Patriot.
You don't think that fans should, you know, think, you know, during the year, who's our next quarterback? What are we doing at quarterback next year?
When you're eating a really good steak, do you wonder where the next one's coming from? Or you just chew the steak and enjoy the steak?
It's a weird analogy, but I guess you're right.
Right? You're not thinking of where the next good meal is coming from. You're enjoying the current meal.
But that's not what Patriots fans are, though.
Why?
Because they're always...
Let Bill, let Robert, let Tom worry about the future. Let Bill, who's making $10 million a year...
What if the future involves a second-year Jarrett Stidham and the team has on their
way
to...
There's nothing you can do about it as a fan. Absolutely nothing. You're a helpless bystander. So if you lose any joy out of this year with Tom Brady because you're worried about next year with Jarrett Stidham, you, my friend, are a boob.
I've never heard you have this attitude before.
Well, I'm a very complex individual. Don't try to pigeonhole me into one viewpoint. I'm just being honest.
Well, it's very strange to hear this from you. Mr. Positive, soak it all in.
Enjoy it.
You don't work for the team anymore.
I don't know, but I work for an entity that covers the Patriots, that deals with fans
of the Patriots.
This is a
great sports talk radio story. You could talk
and I will be talking about it forever.
But according to this, you're not, you don't, it's just
enjoy. For example, today, I brought up the idea that I want Tom Brady to walk out on the field on September 8th against the Steelers with his old helmet on. Dare the NFL to make you not play. Let's see, because I think I'm Tom Brady and I can play.
Would?
No, but it would be fun, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
Can you imagine the chaos that would ensue?
Oof.
Tremendous. So I still root for those things to happen.
Yep.
I still will enjoy talking about them on talk radio and podcasts like this.
Yep.
But from a Patriots fan's perspective, don't ruin the present by worrying about the future.
You sound like a preacher.
Hey, I wear many hats.
I guess you do.
Tom Brady is the quarterback for the New England Patriots, even though there was a couple other Hall of Famers on the field in the preseason game.
Yep.
Even though Brian Hoyer looked as good as he's ever looked, even though Jarrett Stidham is a stud.
Yep.
Stud him, as my Saturday morning co-host Mark James likes to call him.
Mark with a C.
Mark with a C.
Will he be a guest?
Sure, we'll invite him at some point to mock him, to beat up on him. If he's still around our building at that point. Tom Brady's your quarterback. Yeah. You don't have any questions about quarterback, so don't worry about quarterback. Worry about the other places where you have legitimate questions, one of which is tight end.
I'm going to remind you of this whole Brady take on a later podcast.
Don't worry, I'll forget about it.
I know, exactly.
I'll move on quickly.
Let's move on to the game. What are you going to continue on with what you're saying?
Obviously, the stars of the game were the receivers, the pass catchers, the quarterbacks, the passing game. Now, I do want to emphasize, I firmly believe that the life was sucked out of the Detroit Lions on two instances. Their quarterback went down, so they immediately had to have their third-string quarterback in. Tom Savage, I think concussion, I don't know if they announced it.
Yeah.
And Jermaine Kearse broke his leg.
The third play of the game.
Sucked the life out of that. They're all thinking, what the hell are we doing out here? We just watched a guy's career possibly end in front of us, and I'm supposed to go try to kill somebody? This is preseason. This is stupid. We shouldn't have these. So I think that sucked the life out of that Lions team.
They looked terrible.
They did. But the Patriots looked good, and I give them credit for looking good. Now, I would argue maybe the Patriots looked good because they warmed up with a weighted bat playing against their own defense, and then they came out and took it to another defense.
My argument is, on the other side of the ball, is the Patriots' defense is so deep that they just have so many guys, good caliber NFL players, that you can't bench everybody.
Right.
So you have, you have
Jamie Collins and
Daron Harmon, all those guys saw time who would probably be starting on 90% of the other NFL teams.
He's off the 90%, but they are borderline starters in the National Football League. They're certainly rotational players at worst, and they were on the field with some people that my former coworker, Paul Perillo, used to say we'll be working at Sonny's car wash in a couple weeks. Guys who aren't NFL players at all. So there was certainly that. But let's just take the positives for what they were.
Yep.
Jakobi Meyers has moved from pencil to pen to putting his name on the roster. He's a half a step away from using the Sharpie that he will be given soon.
I'm fully on board that
he is going to be on this team. And part of it isn't just him looking good. Part of it is they don't have anybody else. You know, Maurice Harris looked good at times in the game, didn't look good at times in the game. It's not like he's battling. And we will get to questions later, by the way, at our Twitter account.
Yep.
Some of the questions have to do with the receiver position, depth, and, you know, the honks, whatever you want to call them,
the
in the media and in fans have, I thought there were questions about the Patriots receiver position. Looks pretty deep to me. There's a difference between depth of fourth and fifth options and depth of first and second options. They have some fourth and fifth options. they're lacking the high-end guys.
Yes.
Philip Dorsett is a high-end guy on this team. That tells you all you need to know.
So what? You're saying he's like a number four, number five receiver on another team?
Yes. And here, he's pushed into a three role, maybe a two role if N'Keal Harry's banged up or whatever he's going to be. So do they have depth? Yes. Do they have high-end? No. I would say the same thing about the tight end position. They got bodies out there. They got guys that have been around the NFL, and you have a trade to talk about.
Yeah, but I'm going to talk about that position in a little bit. I have a semi-interesting take at the wide receiver position.
Okay, give it to me, because I'll be semi-listening.
Maurice Harris, not on the roster, ends up by getting cut.
Very possible. Very, very
What happened possible. To this? You said like a week ago he was a lock and this and that.
Yeah, that's the beauty of training camp. Things change week to week. It's a fast-paced environment. Not for long is the National Football
League. So my thing is that...
This is what you worked on all day as a hot take? Oh, Jesus.
I didn't say this was scorching hot.
Should wrap this podcast up if that's what you got for hot takes.
No, we got more to get to with you later on.
I got a much better hot take at receiver. You want it?
Oh, sure. Let's have it.
The rookies in this year's receivers class... In 3 years, the better player will be Jacoby Myers, not N'Keal Harry.
I guess that's
it's
hot.
It's so Belichickian, not even funny. He blows a first-round pick on a receiver, and the undrafted rookie ends up being a 90-catch guy.
Not that surprising, what we've seen so far.
My hot take was hotter than yours.
It was a little bit, just because he's a first-round pick. So are you concerned at all about N'Keal Harry and his...
17th injuries in the 2 weeks that he's been here?
Yeah.
Yes. I am very much concerned. I know it was not an issue in his time in college, but all of a sudden... The guy can't make it through a practice, a preseason game without a new thing. It's been a hip. It's been a hamstring. It's been a shoulder. It's now been whatever this leg injury against Detroit was.
Yeah.
I've heard people say turf toe. I've heard reports of it's not a big deal. I've heard a lot of varying things. I don't know what it is.
Yep.
But the guy hasn't been on the football field all that much.
And he's a guy that seems to have needed the time with what we've seen of him.
Yes, he needs every rep he can get. I did like what I saw in the two catches, but two catches does not get you anything in the National Football League.
Nope.
The number of guys that have had two impressive catches over the years, like think of Brandon Bolden. If two plays got you star...
He'd be in Canton.
Right. Two plays against Patriots last year, he looked like a star, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so two plays get you nothing. We can all agree on that. Now, N'Keal Harry looks good on a comeback. He looks good on a back shoulder, body adjustment, all that. Stay on the field. Stop being nicked up.
Yep.
Don't be hurt. Don't be injured. Don't be any of those things other than out on the huddle with Tom Brady so you can get on the field and get your reps. I do like Jacoby Myers, and I told you this the other night. We talked after the game. His post-game to me was as impressive as his in-game.
Yep.
The way he handled himself, talking about, I'm just trying to prove I belong here, I haven't earned anything, all I got to do is keep my mouth shut and listen to what they're telling everybody else. He wants to be great. He wants quarterbacks to trust him. He just, the Patriot Way handbook was just unfolded, and he just blew it out for the media.
Starred again today on the field.
He's a stud.
Made a great catch from Brian Hoyer, and then a nice back shoulder catch from Tom Brady. And it's just the two, it just seems like Brady has that connection with him after the plays. He's going out to him and sort of bang helmets like he used to do over the years. So that's
his new helmet.
His new one.
Yes.
But that's just a sign that Brady likes him. I think that.
How could you not like him? What's there to not like about him?
I don't know. I'm just saying.
He seems very likable.
He's not doing the same thing with Ryan Davis.
Hardworking, mouth shut, 90 catches in college, by the way. Not a guy that's coming in trying to like...
A college quarterback turned receiver.
Right, a few years ago, but then 90 catches last year.
Like, yes.
That's a lot of production.
Impressive.
So this is a guy that has all the makings except for the 40 time, which apparently cost him getting drafted.
What did Bill say? Those don't matter?
Yeah, they don't matter. Well, why didn't you draft him then if you thought he was so good and the 40 time didn't matter? You didn't draft him either, Bill.
No one did.
But he saw an opportunity. That's the beauty of being undrafted. He looks at wide receiver depth charts and he goes to his agent, excuse me, there's nobody on their depth chart. Why don't I go there? And his agent probably said, sure. Right? He made a good decision. Opportunity knocks. He answered the door. He'll be on the roster. Boom.
What was your take? You said tight ends? Trade.
Yes. I need you to host this thing. Let's go. Focus.
What's that guy's name again?
Eric Saubert?
I guess.
I don't know how to say. Saubert. He had five catches last year from Atlanta.
Yeah. Where do you go to college?
Drake. The Drake.
Probably not a good sign.
No, but.
Sort of desperate times.
Matt Lacoste limped off. And I didn't look great.
It's probably an indication that his injury is more serious.
But even with him, the whole position's as wide open as any I can remember. Like a legit starting position, as wide open with limited options, especially when you consider Watson isn't till October.
Right.
If Watson were a September opportunity, okay, then you're trying to fill in behind him, whatever.
Right.
But even he's 30, whatever, nine years old.
Yeah.
This position, like, you know, again, we'll get to the questions, but, you know, the failure to draft somebody, to target it in the draft, is interesting now.
They expected to get more of Austin Seferian Jenkins.
Well, yeah, that's fine. Why? He's had one good year in the NFL, and he's not a reliable guy.
But if you want to go down this road, then you have to blame Rob Gronkowski for not telling them he's retiring until March.
I don't have to blame Rob. He's a saint of a man.
You have to bring that up.
By the way, he'll be back, so who cares?
No.
I saw his George Strait video. He will be back.
Did you see this?
He's lost 15 pounds, according to Thomas Edwards.
Did you see the video with him and dogs? No, you didn't.
Oh, no, not the video with dogs.
He looks like he's 100 pounds.
And it's 15. First of all, you honestly think he weighs 160 pounds right now at 6 foot seven?
No, I think he weighs...
Okay, so he doesn't. He weighs 225 pounds.
He does not look...
Yes, he does.
If you've seen the video of him, he does not look like a guy that's coming back to play football.
He's coming back to catch passes and score touchdowns, and he'll do that.
Okay, right now he's taking pictures and videos with dogs, not working out and catching passes.
Okay, who cares? He's not coming back right now. He's got 2 months to get in shape.
How long do you think it's going to take him?
Not that long. A couple whey protein shakes, a couple steaks, and a couple bench press reps.
He would get... tossed around out there
You're not allowed to touch receivers, so he won't get tossed around.
Oh, okay. You have a physical cornerback who just,
There is no corner that's going to toss around Rob Gronkowski at 220.
The way that he looks right now that they are.
Is he a big receiver or no right now?
He's a big receiver, but he's not physical.
How do you know that?
Because I saw a video
of him. So you think, physical receivers like N'Keal Harry or Josh Gordon. He can't be that right now.
Not right now.
You're out of your ever-flipping mind. That's the dumber take than you had earlier.
Rob Gronkowski is not coming back, and I've become more convinced by the day.
Why? How?
Because I see how skinny he looks.
So he's a big receiver. He's still bigger than any receiver.
This is you just saying that he's a wide receiver. Who said he's a wide receiver?
He's a tight end. I don't care what you call him.
They don't need receivers. They need tight ends.
Are you falling in line with the pom-pom twins down the hall?
They need tight ends more than need receivers. Wouldn't you agree there?
A tight end that splits out wide is a receiver. You can call him, you can label him whatever you want. He is not going to be blocking. He's coming back to score touchdowns and spike balls and listen to Bon Jovi, who was at practice today, say, this is our house.
What proof do you have that he's coming back?
Did you see the video with George Strait?
Yeah, I don't. Okay.
Who was he promoting, George Strait? For who? Kraft Sports and Entertainment.
Yeah.
Who owns Kraft Sports and Entertainment? I believe it's Kraft. So he was working for his, wink, wink, quote, former employer. Interesting.
Okay.
Interesting.
I'm sure there are plenty of other Patriots who have stepped away from the game, who have some stuck around and done things with the Patriots community.
You don't think it's interesting that he's mocking retirement and promoting
That's
a guy?
That's who he is. He's a fun guy. He likes to have fun.
Right.
He's enjoying his time in retirement.
He did a video. They said, can you promote something for us? And he did it for free, and there's no...
As you know, he's the most charitable guy in the world.
This isn't charity. This is business. He's making Robert Kraft money promoting a concert.
You really think he went out of his way to make this video?
Yeah. He didn't have to. He did it. He's coming back. Let's move on. Okay, we beat this topic.
Jeez. We're saving this for another episode.
Sure.
All right.
We're going to have plenty of time to talk Gronk when he's getting ready in October and then taking the field in October or November.
So we'll save it for then.
Okay, proceed.
Looking forward to
How about the defense and Gerard Mayo?
Calling the plays.
Yes. Well, he was doing what was in the best interest of the football team.
According to Bill Belichick. But then on Dale and Keith, I didn't listen to this yet. You were
Good
on the
interview.
Show.
Good interview.
Did Daron Harmon say that?
Yeah, basically. He didn't definitively say it, but he sort of played along with the idea that Gerard Mayo was calling plays and all of that. And we got to get to Harmon in a minute, too, because there's more that I thought he was more interesting about on the Dale and Keith interview with Andy Hart and Jermaine Wiggins. Featuring Andy Hart and Jermaine Wiggins.
I mean, Gerard, obviously, he's been calling the plays for us. So he's working at making sure he can get the play in on time. And, I mean, he's been doing a good job for us. I mean, obviously, it's going to be some growing pains. I wouldn't even call them growing pains. It's going to be some things that we got to get better at. But right now, I like where we're headed.
He talked about Mayo and, he's impressed with him as a coach and that little stuff where you can talk to him on that coach but ex-player level rather than just the coach who doesn't really like you're trying to tell him what's going on out there. It's not exactly what you see it, all that.
Oh, for sure. That's always the battle between, coaches and players, It's just trying to, tell the coach sometimes, like, look, I know you're telling me to do this,
right.
But on the field, like when I'm out there, this is like what felt better. And then, like you said, having Mayo, who's been out there, not only played the game, but played in this exact system, it gives us so much more, understanding. Because he'll be like, okay, I understand what you were trying to do and I understand why you did this, but we need to do this, so we got to find a way. So when you have that, that bridge between that, player and coach, that constant battle, it makes everything a lot easier. And he obviously, when he's in there in the staff room, I mean, he can really, show the coaches, you know, that's in there who didn't play right. in this league and
kind of
you know,
get your voice across.
Exactly,
to them.
Be the right. voice of the players. I understand what you're saying too, but this is what, you know, what I would have seen as a player, and I can understand why he did that.
And the potential of the defense is what I found most interesting. Yeah. Like, even Daron Harmon lit up. He knows how good this defense can be. You saw those sacks.
Should.
You saw the versatility they bring to the defensive line, the defensive edge, linebacker. We know the secondary can be good. I'm not saying it's going to be shut down all the time, but it has depth there and experience there that I think is really
and star players and Stephon Gilmore.
Right. I'm just talking about like Jason McCourty and JC Jackson, Jonathan Jones, and 2 second round picks that should be contributing. We'll see if they do or if they're even here.
Do we want to get to this now, my little thing, or do you want to continue with there?
Wait, let me go with the defense here. I'm being very positive about the defense. It's positive Andy Day here at the Off Day Podcast.
Shocking.
Why?
You're never positive.
I know. Next week I'll probably be negative, but
you
that's
will
fine.
Be. Take some
bipolar. It is what it is. That defense has legitimate depth where there's NFL players that are not going to be here that are going to get cut or traded
for
or moved on from, and versatility. Like, I think Jamie Collins and Juwan Bentley can be just normal middle linebackers, call the plays, be out there, and Van Noy and Hightower on the edge. But now maybe you can rest Hightower and not, you know, that whole way he sort of
monitored himself last year.
And wasn't very good at times in the regular season,
but
and
then
boom,
the
postseason
playoffs.
He's great. Well, now just take him off the field and say, Jamie, I need some reps here. Or Bentley,
or
like whatever we're going
to. Dante,
with.
You're only
going
to play, you know,
right.
20% of the snaps. This
matchups. Wherever you think you want to use him, don't.
And maybe last year he felt the pressure to be out there all the time because of who he had around
Correct.
Him.
Correct.
No Juwan
A guy
Bentley.
Like a Landon Roberts who started a boatload of games here. Yeah. Maybe he doesn't even make the roster. Maybe he does, but he's certainly a rotational guy.
He's not as big of a factor as he's been in the past.
Right. So the depth they have, the defensive edge depth, I think is going to be nice. I don't think they're great. That's another position. A little like receiver. I think Michael Bennett's good, and then I think they have a bunch of guys that can contribute. I don't think they're great. I don't think they're studs.
But you can use Hightower and Van Noy in those
roles.
Oh,
yeah.
And Winovich, who it's very impressive.
And if you put a couple of them on the same side, they double up their impact. Now you force defenses, offensive lines, how they're going to deal with it. So I think that strength in numbers that they're going to be able to throw at people, you know, athletic fronts, the whole amoeba or, you know, roaming cows front where they all just kind of move around. Yep. I like the possibilities of that. I like the defense. I think the defense has a chance. Not great. I don't want to hear in a few weeks when they're giving up 25 points, I thought you said the defense is going to be great. That's what defense is in the NFL now. Even great ones give up points and have bad games. But this is a defense that is going to make a lot of plays, too.
All right. Seems like a good segue to this. Our 53-man roster projections.
It was good. Actually, well, it was terrible because we were almost identical.
Exactly the same.
So we do it separately. Yep. We intentionally make sure we do it separately. And then there's no freaking fun.
The only difference we had was you had Jaron Williams off the roster. And
sort of. I just have him
Duke
not
Dawson
on the roster.
And Duke Dawson on the roster. And I had Duke Dawson off the roster and Jaron Williams on the roster.
Right.
This is where I need to get to you. You had a second round pick off the roster.
Oh, he'll be here.
But,
he'll be hurt or
but
something.
This is the debate, the discussion you brought up outside on the media tent watching practice today. You sort of
hoity-toity touchdown twins.
You went against the sort of unwritten rules of 53-man roster projections. You can't just make up fandom injuries.
Why? If Bill can do it, I can do it.
But that's not the way you do rosters.
Wait, so he can do it in real life, but I can't do it in fake fantasy internet life?
See, I'm sort of on your side, and I was trying to stick up for you out there.
Who was ripping me? Give me names.
Kevin Duffy.
Screw Kevin Duffy.
He said that he does.
He's actually my favorite of the group.
He wanted to see you out there because he wanted to bring this up with you, and I said that he won't be out there, but I'll bring it to you in the podcast.
Talk to
so
him soon.
What are your thoughts?
Piece of my mind.
So I'm with you. When you're doing a roster projection, you do understand that there are varying factors in play.
So he doesn't include trade possibilities?
No.
Anything?
No.
Okay.
He said
Sounds
he called
like a
it
bit of a stick in the mud.
He called it one of the unwritten rules of 53-man roster.
There's no unwritten rules. I make the rules. It's my freaking projection.
I'm with you.
And again, if Bill can do it in real life, then I can do it in fantasy land.
So you're having Williams on the team in the organization, but end up on some list.
Hell, I think there's a chance they both end up on a list. Duke Dawson was horrific in a key early third down crossing pattern.
That was one of the like few negative plays of the game.
Horrific. He was chasing. I forgot the guy.
He like ran into Daron Harmon.
Yeah. Well, I think Harmon actually dropped to try to help out. He saw how badly Dawson got beat and then was sort of late and hit. But it was over already at that point. He got toasted off the line on what looked like a simple in cut from the far side across the field. I don't really know what he was doing there. He has been competitive at times in practice.
Inconsistent.
Inconsistent, definitely. But again, we need to remember, year two, he's not a rookie. This is
kind
his
of,
second
though,
year. No, he practiced all of last year.
Not the first half of the season.
Did he not?
He was on injured reserve.
Did he not?
He was on injured reserve.
He's been around a long time. I don't give him
a long time. He's been here for like just over a year.
Juwan Williams is a rookie.
Yes.
He gets the benefit of the doubt. He actually looks good tackling, physical, line of scrimmage.
He continued his play to Monday at practice. He had probably his best practice of the summer. Very involved. A lot
still
of
not
deflections.
Sure how he covers.
He's sort of a unique
penalty
guy.
Waiting to happen.
He's a big guy, very big for a cornerback. I don't really think that
he's Brandon Browner.
I guess, yeah.
Every play could end in a penalty. Every play when he's on the field. That's the way
but
I look
Bill
at
Bill didn't seem to have a problem with that when Brandon Browner was here. Granted, I'm not saying
no,
that
he was good. He was a matchup guy. And that was the theory when Williams was drafted, that he's going to be a matchup guy, that he's going to be certain situations,
right.
Big receivers.
Which I think is how they view the whole secondary.
Yeah, for the most part, other than pretty much Gilmore. Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah.
Gilmore, and then let's figure it out. What I wanted to get to in the secondary from our friend Daron Harmon.
Yes.
When I asked him about his tete-a-tete on Twitter with the Boston Sports Journal and Greg Bedard and being upset that they kind of insinuated that he
was
in jeopardy and he admitted it. And that was like the headline, the teaser to the link to the story. And he said, that's not what we talked about. That didn't say that. He talked a lot. He's been spending a lot of time very much focused on strong safety this spring.
Well, I mean, honestly, my body and my mental, I mean, I feel great. I mean, I'm at a point where I'm just continuing to try to increase my role. So I've been working hard at, you know, playing closer to the line of scrimmage, working on my man-to-man skills, just, you know, understanding the real roles of playing strong safety. I've been fortunate enough to play, you know, free safety for this team for the last 6 years. And, you know, the coaches, they trust me to be in the deep part of the field, to make plays on the ball, to cage up the runners and make tackles when it break. But, you know, as a football player, you're always searching to be better and to do more. So that's when I've been at this all season. And the good thing, the coaches have been able to provide me with those type of opportunities. So, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, competition always makes everybody better. Mm-hmm. I mean, with the competition, you're either going to succeed or you're going to fold.
Right.
And I'm a person that I really believe in myself and my ability. So I've been, you know, continue to getting better. And I've been succeeding at, you know, trying to play two positions.
He's talked to Bill. He's talked to them. He's shown what he can be as a free safety. They know what he can be as a free safety. He's spending – and they haven't had a backup at strong safety.
No.
They've played without a net there. It's Patrick Chung or bust.
Like they had Jonathan Jones basically move back into that role in the Super
Bowl. So I think there is some explanation there. Is, you know, you might say, well, how come he's playing in the preseason game? How come he's out there on this series and other guys – well, because he's playing strong safety. He's getting reps that he needs to prove whether he can play that position.
Because that's been the case in the practices where he's been playing with the twos, but he's playing that strong
safety
position.
In the box. And it's a lesson we may have learned a little bit last year when everybody said, oh, Jason McCourty's out there at safety. Jason McCourty could get cut. No, Jason McCourty's going to be on the team. He's going to play all year. He's going to get a lucrative extension. So Daron Harmon, I personally have never thought was going anywhere. I know people have talked about it in your little tent, your little buddies out there, the Touchdown Twins and you, the idea that Harmon could be gone. I don't think Harmon's going anywhere.
I've never said he could be gone.
I didn't say you. You've listened to it. You've interacted with people who have said it, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. No further questions.
We acknowledge everything.
We don't acknowledge everything.
We address it.
We just addressed it. Now move on. What else you got?
What else do I have for you?
You're the guy who's supposed to read the Google Doc that has the
quarterback position.
Quarterback position.
Are you of the mind that they are going to carry two or three? Do you think Jared
Stidham... You know the answer to that because you saw my roster projection. It had three. It was the same as yours. But I don't totally rule out Brian Hoyer being cut.
Right.
Because you know my theory. Brian Hoyer could stay in North Attleboro, wherever he lives, and just wait it out. And if they need him, they can sign him if they want him. Now, I also have this theory of if Brady goes down, I'm just going to play Stidham to find out how good he is, can find out if he can be the future. Because I think we saw it's not exactly going to be a jailbreak if he plays. There'll be massive ups and massive downs. There'll be massive mistakes. But is he competent enough to play if he has to? He might be under Belichick's coaching and the way they would
modify the offense.
Yeah.
It's only you have a Jamoke calling plays.
Right.
Josh McDaniels can cater to whoever's playing quarterback.
So
It also brings me to Danny Etling.
What about him?
Keep two quarterbacks. Keep Etling on the practice squad. There's three right there.
Right. And you can talk yourself into Etling being the 11th member of the practice squad and Jacob Janssen is the 10th or whatever the hell. Yeah, I'm not so sure about that. He had a miserable first rep and when the ball was thrown his way and then deflected up in the air
in Detroit.
Etling.
He also had a miserable practice today.
Yeah, he's not
very good. Two drops, he led the interceptions.
I'd rather have him coaching the practice squad than playing on it. Nice guy. He can speak for the practice squad. I'd go out and get a beer with him and have dinner. I just don't think he's all that good.
I know there's something you want to get to me about.
Okay, so remind me.
Andrew Beck,
yeah. You might want to pay attention. I go to practice infrequently, unfortunately, because I've had a lot of duties doing radio.
Very infrequently.
For WEEI and mostly Dale Arnold's show, which happens to be 10 to 2, and that happens to take me away from the practice field. You were not aware that Andrew Beck has been a backup fullback the entire camp, that he hangs out with James Devlin. They go off and do drills together, just the two of them. Jacob Janssen doesn't even get to take part in those. And when they went goal line, most importantly, which is a mano a mano, these are our guys, here's our ones, it was Devlin, here's our twos, it was Andrew Beck. So pay attention, please.
My defense is I don't really pay much attention to the fullback position.
There's no defense.
That's
if you're
going
to do a podcast where you pretend you're an expert, you should probably know all the positions.
There are 90 guys on the field.
I see them all. What do you want to know?
No,
you ask me a question about any of them, and I get an answer.
Cedric Lang.
Good length on the exterior. He hasn't gotten as many high-end reps as I would have suspected. And by the way, Montez Ivy has moved up the depth chart faster, given his versatility to play tackle and guard, than I would have expected. So a guy like Cedric Lang has fallen by the wayside. How you like them apples?
That was an easy one.
Well, you picked the question, so don't tell me the answer was easy.
You pay attention.
Okay, I try. Okay, what do you got next?
What do I have next?
I don't know. Stop answering questions with questions, Ordway.
You can jump in anytime.
I don't have the Google spreadsheet.
You can
do.
Bring up whatever you want to talk about. This is free reign.
I don't think you want me to bring up anything. How about, could I explain
to you? You're the one who wasn't at practice today. You should be asking me the questions.
I don't care what you think. Could I ask you to explain what a roster bubble is?
I don't know what that is.
Oh, it's when players are close to getting cut.
I don't know what that is.
That was Bill Belichick's exchange with a reporter today in his press conference.
Can you tell me how impressed you are with some of the players that are considered to be on the bubble? And can you give any names?
Yeah, I don't know what the bubble is. So, yeah, I don't know who that is. So
the question was ill-advised to start with, to ask who's on the bubble, who you might be thinking of getting cut, names. Actually, I believe actually said,
yeah,
can you
wanted names.
Offer some names? And then when he said, I don't know what the bubble is.
She explained what it was. It was good.
She took it literally. Yeah. Not a Belichickian, I don't know what the bubble is. She actually explained to him what the bubble was, and he was not interested. He also wasn't interested in questions about how his team projects which guys are going to be cut, which guys might be worth trading for. His simple answer was, the pro personnel department. It's a full-time
job.
Bill, how does the team evaluate other 90-man rosters and try to identify players that would be worth trying to acquire via a draft pick, and which players might be available towards the end of camp on the waiver wire?
That's what our pro personnel department does. So that's what they do. It's a full-time job.
He wasn't in the best of moods today.
No.
Why?
My guess would be because half the time he's counterintuitive, I guess you say. Sometimes there's a really bad game and he's in a good mood, and sometimes there's too good a game and he's in a bad mood. Or maybe, I don't know, somebody pissed in his Cheerios before the press conference.
I get one, though.
What do you got?
I believe that he saw all the stories that came out following the first preseason game about how great the receivers looked and how Jared Stidham's the next Tom Brady and this and that. And that was his way of saying, like, we're not that great.
Right.
Like, tone it down a little bit.
I mean, there's the famous story is with Mike Vrabel when they were cruising along and he started a Wednesday meeting saying, listen, the media's going to come in here and they're going to give you guys all BJs. And blah, 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 blah. And then because he wanted him to, listen, you're not that good. Ignore the media. I don't care how many BJs you get in the Boston Globe from the media. You're not that good. And then at the end of the meeting, Mike Vrabel raises his hand. Can we get back to those BJs? I'm interested. And that's why Mike Vrabel's great, and he's a good head coach on his own now in Tennessee.
Speaking of Mike Vrabel.
See what I did there?
What a great segue, Andy.
At least somebody's running this show. No,
hey, I'm the one who transitioned.
You just keep saying, what else we got here?
Because I wanted
you're like the last segment of Dale and Keefe. What else you got?
That isn't a great segment. Join practice this week with the Tennessee Titans down in Nashville Wednesday and Thursday before Saturday's preseason game. I'm pretty intrigued in these because of the way the Titans kicked the Patriots' ass last year. And,
much like the Lions.
And if the Patriots will have any sort of, you know, extra. No?
No.
You don't think
it's ridiculous.
It was ridiculous
when I read it in your Sunday 7.
You don't think Bill's going to say anything to them and say, these guys kicked our ass last year? Like, let's.
Oh, he might say, but that's the ongoing theme of road struggles a year ago, an area you were bad.
He brought that up last week, though.
Right. And I don't think it's a coincidence. Now, there's a couple issues here. It's Mike Vrabel and it's Matt Patricia. It's friendly franchises. Right. The leadership in the front office and on the coaching staff is you could have very productive joint practices. There are also two teams that kicked your ass on the road last year. I think those come together nicely. Clearly, a theme he has for this team is you weren't good enough on the road last year.
Right.
Now, Tom Brady counters with, hey, Bill, did you see January and February? We won some good road games when it mattered, buddy. I kind of paraphrased that.
Just a tad.
So, no, I think this is a good week because I have a lot of respect for Mike Vrabel and what he's done, not just here. His Houston defenses with Romeo gave the Patriots some problems. I like the way Mike Vrabel, even his little shtick with the throwback to Mariota last year after they threw to Brady to just show our quarterback could do it better or whatever. He's got a swagger to him, and I like the way he coaches in Tennessee. It's part of why I think Brady could go there next spring, but that's for a totally different podcast.
We can't bring that up. Enjoy the year.
Well,
Brady's
going to enjoy Tennessee. I heard he's going to go house hunting to see where he and Giselle could live next year.
Oh, so the off day on Friday, he'll be with a realtor.
In Franklin. Bill told him Franklin's a nice place. I believe that's where Bill has a home as well, in Franklin,
Tennessee. Bill's going to take him shopping.
Yeah,
these are the
show
nice
him around
places.
The neighborhood. These are the good places to live. Good value. $40 million.
Oh, great value.
If he gets 39 and change for the place here.
He could probably get like five of those.
Oh, my God. He could buy mansion upon mansion from country music stars down there. He will do just fine in the real estate market.
Maybe this trip's going to do wonders from say, hey, not so bad, Giselle.
Maybe he's going to get traded. Oh, no, he won't get traded.
No.
That would be awkward.
But I think that it is going to be worth watching the Patriots going up against some of these players on the Titans.
Deion Lewis.
For sure, especially the way that his comments after the game the last time.
Could there be a fight?
I actually...
Scrap.
I raised this question to Mike Giardi today watching practice. He told me when I got to choose between go to Detroit for joint practices or Tennessee, where should I go? He said Tennessee because there's going to be a fight.
Same. Oh, because of the fight, I don't necessarily know that.
No, he said
now,
there's going to be
a
fight.
Now, is this an organic fight or a manipulated fight from Bill Belichick and Mike Vrabel? We've heard stories about payments and sort of things being created.
The way that the NFL has changed, I don't think Bill Belichick is going to tell someone in this day and age to go start a fight.
How do you know?
I don't think that's going to happen. But we saw Michael Bennett and Dan Skipper get into a little altercation today at practice, so these happen.
Right.
And especially when you have a team like the Titans to have some of those guys, Malcolm Butler, Deion Lewis, that have some sort of agenda against the Patriots.
Axe to grind.
Yes, which we saw happen last year in that game. Wouldn't be surprised if they say something and one of the Patriots players objects.
Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me because, A, the culture I think Mike Vrabel brings is a little bit of that ex-player culture.
Yep.
And I think that
wouldn't mind seeing
more
a little scrap.
Right, is more prone to those. And we are in the second week of joint practices. There are guys with some personal vendettas
it's
or
gonna
feelings.
It's going to be hot down there, 90
gonna
degrees,
be hot.
Humid.
I think you can convince yourself it's at least a possibility because I think generally most people say, oh, no, Belichick's Patriots won't fight. There'll never be a fight.
Not against
it's not true.
When the Bears came here, there
right.
was a fight
so
every day.
It can happen. It can definitely happen, and I wouldn't rule it out for this. And it would be fun, and you'll be there to cover it.
Yes, I will be.
Which is nice. We'll finally have boots on the ground.
Finally. Do you expect the starters to play in the game, or do you think it's going to be the same way as the Lions went, where most of the starters sit out?
Well, Tom Brady told the Greg Hill show on his first Patriots Monday appearance that he'd be lobbying to play, and he hated not playing. He doesn't like that in Detroit. Yeah, I think you'll get a sampling of the first team.
How much, though?
Not much.
Like a series?
Maybe two. One long series, two shorter series, something like that.
So you think we'll see the starters in this game?
I do. Well, what are the starters?
I guess.
Is Skipper a starter or is Wynn? Is
like
Jacoby Myers a starter? Is
Do you think we see Tom Brady, Stephon Gilmore?
Is Damian Harris a starter?
Yeah, we didn't really get to
him. We should get to him. Go.
Let's get to him.
Okay.
Why has he been?
You want me to get to him?
What's he been doing? Well,
I would argue something smells funny.
Something does smell funny.
Now I have had other people tell me, don't you think they just know what they have?
He's no.
How the hell do they know what they have?
He's a third round pick.
I've also heard little rumblings of his running style is a little weird, that he runs a little upright for their liking.
So
there is
you have
no
him
reason
more?
To not play him. No reason to not play him. Right.
The one thing I picked
Eric
up
Dickerson wouldn't have played for the Patriots because he runs upright?
The one thing I picked up today was he had a little bit of wrapping on his thumb.
Oh.
And then when he handed the ball after he ran the carry was when his left hand and threw it back with his left hand.
Is he left-handed?
No. Could that have been just yes? Could that have just been that one rep? Sure. But there's got to be
something
going on.
Something feels funny.
Yeah.
I've told you this before, and it's a trap.
His roster spot's not in jeopardy.
No. I'm just saying it smells funny how varied his usage has been in practice and then not play at all.
Not a single snap.
And I listened to the Patriots.com postgame show the other day. I used to be a member of it, so I was seeing how they were doing. Well, we'll be doing postgame podcasts this year. I'm very much looking forward to that.
I am too.
So we will offer an alternative to the Patriots.com postgame podcast.
Yeah, so let's break news on this podcast. After every Patriots game, there will be a 20-ish minute podcast breaking down the game that will drop first thing Monday morning.
And we are going to passionately spew our reactions to the game.
Right after the game.
You don't want that too much time to cool down.
Break down the all 22.
All 22. Read Twitter or listen to other writers' opinions. This will be Andy and what's your name?
Ryan.
Ryan, not Paul. Ryan spewing immediate reactions. And I like that. I think there's value in that. And I think you have to embrace it and say, I might be wrong sometimes, I might not have all the information, but here's how I reacted to what I saw an hour ago. Because we'll go to the locker room, and then boom, right after that, we're podcasting.
It's unique. I don't think anyone else in the market does it.
So I think it'll be in the market.
In the market? No one does in the market.
Jackass phrases that.
What should I have said?
There is no market, first of all. Don't think so old school. You know what our market is?
Everyone.
Planet Earth. And I go beyond Planet Earth because I think they can get podcasts at the space station. And don't be surprised if they listen to us in the space station.
I hope they do. I think we can get iTunes anywhere.
I would think we'd have more than 322 followers if they listen to us.
I think we have 380 something.
You can't even listen to us in Europe from what I hear.
You can if you have iTunes.
I hope so. I'm getting mixed reviews on that. Got a lot of questions on that.
I don't think that those people know exactly what they're doing.
Okay, maybe they don't. They seem to be smart people.
People in Europe, download iTunes podcast.
Or supposedly various other podcasts.
Yes, Stitcher. Just don't go to our website. If you're in Europe, don't go to our website.
Whatever you do, don't go to WEEI.com.
You won't be able to see it.
You won't be able to see it, read it, hear it, like it, love it. Listen to this, go to iTunes or one of the other ways, and you'll get it every post game, and then one other time per week. We're going to be the best podcast tandem in town.
I would agree.
I don't know who the other candidates are.
Phil Perry, Tom Kern.
Ooh, they're pretty good.
Yeah. But
they are pretty good.
We can get there.
Curran's got inside info on the Brady contract.
They also have years together doing podcasts.
That's true.
This is our inaugural
I
got
to try
year.
To create chemistry with you, and it's not going well.
No. Well, we seem to have it with our Ross projection.
Unfortunately, the thing that I would like the least amount of chemistry has a lot of chemistry. Before we move into questions, are we doing questions?
Yeah, we are, but what else you got?
What else you got?
That's another segment on Dale and Keefe. You should
what else
stop.
You got?
Your voice isn't that good. I do want to talk about the trade possibilities because I think there's going to be trades.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
We've talked about it before, and it's hard to project. You know, as Bill says, full-time job, player personnel.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, what team's going to trade for X player? If he's going to be cut, I'll just sign him. But if you trade for him, you get him. If you want to sign him and he goes through waivers, you may not get him and all those types of things. But certainly the defensive backfield, the edge of the defense, because I think there's some bodies there. The Keyonte Davis.
Yep.
You saw Shailik Calhoun come on. You even have Derek Rivers, Kamalu. Like, Derek Rivers had a couple sacks. He was productive.
Two sacks, yep.
I don't know that he's making the team. I know I'm on the record saying he could have, you know, Trey Flowers,
sacks.
6 to 8 sacks. Won't stun me if he gets cut by any means.
Well, he could potentially be another team's, you know, one of their top edge rushers.
There's just more bodies than there are roster spots at a few different spots. Another name I don't know if you saw I buried as a possible trade or surprise cut would be, if you're looking for roster spots, would be Rex Burkhead.
For sure.
I just, depending
injury
on the
history.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
He's probably, his money, his contract, you get out from underneath it.
I just think that's another name. I'm not saying it, so I don't want anybody, you said he's going to get cut, and he just started on opening day. Yeah, that's why it's called a surprise cut. Because if it was an obvious cut, like Gunnar Olszewski, I guess he's technically in vying for the kickoff return job, but I think he's going to get cut. That's not a surprise cut. You have to pick surprise cuts. So
you could throw his name out there.
But if he's not cut, he could be traded. Maybe
Alandon Roberts.
Definitely.
You could go to linebacker and have that same conversation.
Definitely.
We talked before, safety, you could probably do that, but I don't know who you could really trade there. If you're going to maybe Harmon, but that's probably not going
to
happen.
Maybe you find a way to get Melifonwu some reps and then...
True.
Trade him for
the other
a
thing that's
seven.
Relating to safety was Nate Ebner was on the field today off PUP.
Yeah, that's not good for my roster.
Yeah,
I put him on PUP. Now I'm just gonna have to cut him.
But do you feel like him being out there is an indication that they think he's going to be on the roster, or do you think he's sort of on the bubble? I know it's not a thing under Bill Belichick's mind, but
what's a bubble?
A guy that potentially could get cut.
You dip it in the little thing and then blow on it, and a little thing flows through the air. That's a bubble, Bill. Sometimes it bursts. It's interesting because I think the easiest decision would be put him on PUP. Now you have to pay him if he's on PUP.
Yeah.
So there's some money there, $3 million in change. So the prorated 6 week, blah blah blah, right. Money. I think he could be in trouble with the Terrence Brooks addition. Who?
It's just like an upgrade. It's an upgrade.
Yeah,
from what
he plays defense. He's at least an option to play defense. So could he be in trouble? To me, that's what I struggle with the most is those bottom of the roster, like Keon Crossan. I don't have room for him
on my
roster.
There's only so many special teams players you can keep.
But is there? Because it feels like Bill keeps more than you should.
But they are Brandon King, and then all Matthew of a sudden, Slater.
Yeah, I feel like there's always more of those guys than I'm willing to keep. I also leave the opportunity open here as we're still a couple weeks away, but tight end, so wide receiver, tackle for moves. You know, they claim a guy off waivers from this team that cut him. So that means you actually are cutting down to 52.
What's your ranking position of need, wide receiver, tight end, or tackle, what is it?
Tight end is first.
Yep.
I haven't seen Isaiah Wynn. You watched him today.
He did half the reps.
So
he did fine. Well, no more in a game.
I would probably go tight end, tackle, wide receiver. Now, as I've said in the past, and will continue to say, both of those positions have the variables of Rob Gronkowski and Josh Gordon. We should talk about N'Keal Harry's day of numerology issues, where he was supposedly going to be number 10 on the flip card.
Which, as we discussed, probably was actually a thing.
Right, and then
got sent to the Lions to print this card.
Right.
And then something changed along the lines, and switched number 8.
Did you notice that Mike Reese reported that Josh Gordon, quote, gave N'Keal Harry 10, and then he ended up being 8? Like that there was a communication and permission of some sort that...
So somebody approached Josh Gordon to say, is it
I'm
okay
just saying
if
what Mike Reese wrote in his Sunday notes. They're not as good as yours, but I read them.
I read them too. They're good.
They're very good. They're must read.
I must have missed this line.
But in there he wrote, Josh Gordon gave the number to N'Keal Harry, and then he ended up wearing number 8. So I don't know exactly what to make of that, but... Josh Gordon is still on the periphery of the Patriots for this season, as is Rob Gronkowski. They may have inside knowledge on either or both of those guys that I don't. That changes the ranking, but I would go tight end, tackle, wide receiver as my needs.
Yeah, those two are always going to be in the realm of discussion on the outside, always not playing a factor, but could potentially play a factor.
And it's not like there's a rumor that Matt Light's coming back.
Right.
Like there's no extra tackle in the wings
coming
in. And the way I look at it, I don't know who's starting at left tackle to open the year. I don't know if Wynn's going to be healthy enough, good enough.
I think if he's out there today, they probably have a good idea that he's going to start at left tackle.
Well, I don't feel great about Skipper being the swing tackle necessarily.
Neither do I. I don't think anybody does.
I mean, he was pretty good in the preseason opener.
As we talked about, though, the Lions looked lifeless.
That's true. The lifeless Lions. Okay, so we got that covered. I think we covered everything.
Questions.
Oh, yes, questions. Was I supposed to be having those ready?
Yeah, what did you have?
You talk amongst yourself for a minute.
Well, I have one question from a listener. I don't know. I don't have their proper credit.
Okay.
But they were asking about Marcus Mariota. What are your thoughts on him as potentially being an NFL QB?
Marcus Mariota, I think, is a journeyman quarterback.
Yeah,
I don't think he's that good.
Neither do I.
That's why we were posing the possibility that if Tom Brady wanted to leave, he could go there. I don't think he's a franchise quarterback.
Neither do I. You got one ready?
Sure. Wesley B. Coach Wesley B. is an underscore in the middle of that. On a scale of 1 to Jamie Collins, how excited should we be about this defense?
1 to Jamie Collins? So is that,
he's an 8.
Is that
so 8 apparently is the best. Either that or he thinks Jamie Collins is 10.
Yeah, probably.
Because he got wrapped up in the 8-10
fiasco.
Just give me how good the defense is going to be. Scale of 1 to 8.
6.5.
7, just to one-up you. I'm pretty excited about it. Okay, I got others here.
I got one right here.
I wanted to read mine. Tucker Conley.
No, you took mine.
At Tucker Ross Con. I still want to know who is going to be the starting kickoff returner for this season. Brandon Bolden, Gunner, Braxton Berrios. I think Braxton Berrios
of those
is now going to
make
the
Berrios.
Team. As a punt returner, maybe kickoff returner, Bolden could do the kickoffs. I don't think Gunner's making the team. I do think Berrios is going to make it on special teams, and that will open up the opportunity for him to get a chance to prove himself.
We saw today Rex Burkhead back there returning kicks and punts, so that could put a wrench in
there's
the
no
Rex
chance that he's healthy by the time the season opens to return kicks.
Why not?
Because he never stays healthy.
Okay, you do it for one or two games, and then you move on to somebody
else.
You're
going to count on him to be your kickoff returner.
I think if you're going to have Rex Burkhead returning kicks and punts, that potentially could take a roster spot away from Braxton Berrios.
Angry Scotsman 74 asks, His name's Ricky, by the way.
What's up, Ricky?
Any chance in hell we acquire Trent Williams?
No. No chance.
I can't envision that in any way. I know when people, when they did the Brady extension, you know, the only extension in the history of the world that made his tenure shorter with a team, when they did that and created cap space, people said a couple things. Rob Gronkowski was the first one.
Right.
And Trent Williams was another one because that was hot in that rumor time period.
Right.
I don't, they're not bringing in an $11 million left tackle.
No.
I just, I don't see it.
I got one.
Okay, go ahead.
From Michelle. M-I-C-H-A 2334.
Oh, that's Michelle. She's, her real name's Charlotta. She loves us. Well, me anyway, not you.
Whoa. How do you know that?
Because she's a former PU listener.
Oh, well.
PFW. She followed me over.
She followed me too, so.
Yeah, I know. I told her to be nice to you. These people don't like you, and I'm trying to build your rapport with these people.
I appreciate it.
Okay.
She asks, if Antonio Brown had been on the Patriots, would Bill have cut him by
hell? Hell no.
Right. If you're paying him that much money, you can't.
Because if you cut him, he gets his $30 million.
Right.
If he walks away, you get the $30 million.
I guess you could change the question. If Antonio Brown was on the Patriots, would he be acting like he's acting on the Raiders?
No, it'd be different.
Right.
It's hard to say because if it truly, he's bat bleep crazy. I firmly believe it. And I heard somebody else bring this up. He's borderline, do you worry about his stability?
Yeah.
Long term.
Yeah.
Okay. So now that we acknowledge that, if that's really the case, then even Bill couldn't hone it in.
Right.
But I will say that I think it would be different here, and especially with Tom saying, listen, jackass, I had to switch my helmet too.
Right.
Look at it. Try this one. Try a different one. I don't care. Get open and catch it.
He wouldn't be the most important player on that team, so I think he'd act differently.
It would be different. You know, there's a different atmosphere. After Grunks, this is EEM19711.
And nice
his name
account.
Is also EEM1971. Dropped a one on from the name to the at. After Gronk's video about George Strait, what's the probability he's coming back? That video has a message.
You think there's a message. I don't. I think he's just being a nice guy.
Much like the effort we give in this podcast, 110%, baby. Gronk will be back.
What am I going to get when he doesn't come back?
I don't know. You get the bragging rights. Who gives a rat's ass?
Well, I'm sort of alone on this mountain here.
You are. I don't know why you can't see the signs on the wall.
I see the video of him weighing 150 pounds.
You're really caught up on that.
You're really caught up on
Julian Edelman weighs like 170 and is Tom Brady's favorite receiver.
So weight matters. He's a slot receiver.
No, it doesn't. So will Gronk be.
Oh, a slot receiver?
So will Gronk. That's what a move tight end is.
Now we're going from move tight end to slot
football. I know you don't watch fullbacks, but you don't watch football at all? He's going to be a move tight end. He's going to line up wide. He's going to run a fade. He's going to be matched up against a safety. He's going to score touchdowns. Pay attention, please.
He's taking pictures with dogs right now.
I don't know what that means. Fwad, N-E-H-E-M-E-N, Fwad and men. I don't know, hope that's not dirty. do the Patriots regret not drafting a tight end?
No.
Everybody was raving about T.J. Hockenson this week.
Well, now I'm thinking, no. Could they have drafted, if he was available when, at number 32,
chance.
Yeah, but they weren't going to trade up to whatever. What do you go, 10?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, so,
even
no.
if they had traded Gronk to get the Lions pick, they weren't going to have that high pick.
Like, Irv Smith was around when they picked. I don't know what Irv Smith's going to be.
No.
I
think there is probably some regret over the talent they have at the tight end position.
Yeah.
How you specifically,
but it's not through the draft.
Whether you focus on Gronk, told you late that he wasn't coming back, you didn't sign
be.
Somebody, Austin Seferian Jenkins
yeah.
did whatever he did to get
I think
shipped out.
Draft is sort of on the lower level of blame.
I would agree.
Any more?
Shinobesius716, a.k.a. Bo Beast. Position battles between Myers and Harris. While they both make the team, I'm not sure they both might kick out Berrios, who has a little tenure. Was Myers a flash in a pan, or does Harris have more to go off of? I would argue that Myers of late has been far more consistent.
Yeah.
Whereas Harris has been good, very good early, and now lately has sort of been journeyman quality.
He dropped an easy pass today that stood out.
That doesn't get you cut, though, because if it did, then N'Keal Harry wouldn't
no,
be on the team.
No, but I think there's also something that needs to be talked about, too, is at that, you know, number four-ish position at wide receiver, you want them to do more than just play wide receiver. Jacoby Myers can play special teams. Maurice Harris probably cannot.
Probably not. But he's also a different beast in that he's sort of a bigger, more physical slot receiver, which if you get Gronk, you don't need because then you get a big physical beast.
Oh, so we're
slot
just
receiver.
Pretending that Gronk's definitely back now.
Michael Daly at STP43Fan. Do the Patriots now have a glut as opposed to a shortage of pass catchers?
Can you repeat that? Sorry.
I'm going to need you to pay attention. It's just the two of us. That was okay when my old podcast, there were like four of us. Somebody would answer. Do the Patriots now have a glut as opposed to a shortage of pass catchers?
No. Like we talked about before, they have names and they have a stacked list of number five receivers. But
you look at these teams like Miami. Do they have a glut of quarterbacks?
No.
They have a bunch of backups. Right. Somebody's going to start.
Right.
Right? They have journeyman backups. Or Josh Rosen's not quite a journeyman yet. But that's not how it works.
No.
The old saying, if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one. If you have two shortstops, you don't have one. You need actually an ace. You need a guy. They do not have a guy other than Edelman at wide receiver. They may have potential with some young guys.
They're going to have some great battles at the number four, number five spot, but that's really not a good problem to have.
And it's not sexy.
At all.
It's not hot in any way.
No.
I read a bunch from them. Are we good?
Yeah, but we
like
this.
Okay, now make sure you find out how people contact us. Do your thing.
Well, for starters, you can tweet us like we just did, but also follow
us. What's the handle?
Follow us on Twitter, the off day, not the, just off day
pod. Give you one thing to do.
Instagram, off day pod.
Off day pod on Twitter.
Yes.
OFFDAYPOD, at off day pod. And listen, I've said it before and I'll continue to say it. We're apparently in some sort of race, which I didn't really give a rat's ass about until
now
I found out there's a dinner.
You're totally fired up.
Well, no, I found out there's a dinner involved. We get a free dinner from the boss man if we win to 1,000. And hockey is beating us. Who even follows hockey?
Right, I now,
think
the
all the
summer.
People that like hockey actually follow our competition. Screw our competition. It's a football town. The New England Patriots are the defending champions. Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, Ryan Hannibal, Andy Hart. There's dynasties here. Live the dynasty at Off Day Pod.
One thing that also I forgot to mention, the payday with John Anderson and Chris Scheim, with Mutt too as well this past week, they had an over-under prediction of the Bills over 7 wins.
Yeah, I'll take the under.
Yeah, are we kidding here?
I'll take
the John said over 7.
Well, that proves how dumb he is.
Yeah, awful.
What is he doing?
Yeah,
Josh Allen, he represents us in some form or fashion. I don't want to be tied to him.
Especially with that take. Josh Allen's terrible. He's one of the worst quarterbacks I've ever seen.
Just build Twitter followers and keep his mouth shut.
Well, that's what we need right now, apparently.
Yeah. Okay, but yeah, that's a bad take. But whatever. Yes. Hey, maybe he'll be laughing come December.
Yeah, they'll be doing that every week. I think Mutt's going to be part of that as well.
I like it. I mean, we all know how big gambling is.
We're building this big, you know, brand here off of us. I kind of like it.
A podcast community that starts with us. Obviously, we're the best, even though we don't have the most followers.
But we have the most listens.
I don't know if that's true, but I'll go. Oh, we have the most listens. Good. So follow. If you're listening, freaking follow us so I can win a free steak dinner. Because he didn't limit the place. I'm going big. I'm going surf and turf. I want lobster and filet. I want those two things.
You're right. There was no...
Because I also go cheap on alcohol because I'll just get a Miller Lite. So he's not going to have to buy me fancy drinks, but he's getting me steak and he's getting me lobster.
Some boom sauces as well.
And some boom sauce, too.
Email us, offdaythepodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget, subscribe, iTunes. Please subscribe to us. Bosses love that.
Yeah, and I think they like it if you leave like comments and rate us. It helps our stupid algorithms or ranking. I don't even know. Just please listen, please like, and please get me a free dinner.
Yes. All right. So next week we will be recapping the
Saturday night Titans Patriots from Tennessee when they will be playing while Robert Gronkowski will be here at Gillette Stadium watching somebody come out of retirement. Interesting.
Stay tuned. We'll go over this next week. Bye-bye.